Welcome to the Power of Love Show, sponsored by the D.D. Jackson Foundation, where we shine a light on loss and grief and how it impacts our lives. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. Enjoy the show. All right. Welcome, everyone, to the Power of Love Show, sponsored by the D.D. Jackson Foundation, where we shine a light on loss and grief and how it impacts our lives. My name is TJ Jackson, and with me is my eldest brother, Taj Jackson.
Hello, T.
What is going on, big bro?
Nada mucho.
So, yes, it's a busy day. It's the middle of May. The year is flying by, and this is another episode of The Power of Love. We have a special guest joining us shortly. This is episode number 317. So if you're new to the show, there's a lot of episodes you can catch up on in either the podcast world or YouTube or Facebook. All our episodes are now ingested into those three platforms. So if you want to catch up or watch a previous episode, feel free to do so. As a reminder, we are not licensed therapists. We are just ordinary people who have experienced loss in our lives. We've been impacted by it, and we have learned from it. And what we like to do is share our opinions in an attempt to help you get through whatever it is you may be going through, saying that if you need professional help, we urge you to seek it and to find it. Please do not just rely on us. Taj Jackson, that was our disclaimer. And I've wrapped up all the important data regarding our intro. So I want to ask you, how was your week?
Oh, I was hoping we'd skip that. Because as you were saying everything, I'm like thinking about what my week was in that way. We had all had been sick at one point or another. So everyone's back healthy again, I would say. I'm just stalling. There's nothing. You're on mute, I think.
No, I know. Nothing to report back to, huh, Taj?
If it's something comes up, I'll let you know. It's just being a parent is like, basically, it seems like I'm on a loop in a good way, but just,
yeah,
you know, the thing. Yeah.
So, trust me. I get it, man. I get it. It's the most beautiful thing in the world, but it's also challenging. It's a lot of work. Yeah. But again, the payoff is beautiful, and I couldn't imagine life without being
like there. That's the beauty.
No way.
Right.
No way. But it is a difficult thing, and especially in your case where, like I've said, you have three that are five and under now.
Yeah, five and under. Yeah.
I was gonna say under five, and I know Taylor just turned five. Yeah. So it's
Toria.
A really
Toria just turned three.
Toria just turned three, but Taylor's five in November, right? Yeah. Okay. And then Tylee's
still got the uncle. Yeah, you're still good.
Yeah. And then July 17th is Tylee.
Yeah, so
I know them.
Yeah. On your birthday.
But for me, Taj, I just got back to Southern California from Phoenix, Arizona.
Ooh,
it was good. We spent Mother's Day weekend at a little resort in Phoenix. It was incredibly hot.
I was going to say that. Yeah.
Yeah. It was in the high 90s all 3 days we were there, but it was also very relaxing. So a lot of swimming and a lot of just chilling with Mama and Rio and JoJo. So it was a good time. Yeah, it was good. I forgot how hot Phoenix gets.
Oh, I've never forgotten that. But yeah,
I forgot how hot Phoenix can get. But it was a good trip and a lot of fun. Just a good relaxing trip.
Was it something that you randomly wanted to do in terms of just picking Arizona in that way?
Or pretty much, just want to do something kind of relatively close, but something that would feel like a trip. So we did that.
I like that.
I assume the weather would have been cooler, but it wasn't. But it's all good.
Nice.
It's all good. It's all good. It was a fun time and a memorable time, and that's what we care about.
Yeah.
So, all right, Taj. Well, if it's okay with you, I want to get on with our show.
Let's do it.
All right. So on today's episode of the Power of Love Show, ladies and gentlemen, we welcome a very special guest. Her name is Lou Panisi. Lou Panisi is a grief educator and illustrator. After a five-year period of cumulative losses, Lou found herself struggling with her grief. She felt like every time she came up for air, she was hit with another loss. Feeling isolated and alone after her mother passed, she decided to create an Instagram account where she would write about her feelings of grief, loss, and regret, and also create an illusion, an illustration to go with each post. It was never meant to be anything more than a place to pour her heart out, but it became so much more. Through sharing her vulnerability, the page grew quickly, and Lou could see that she was helping others by sharing. This, in turn, helped her healing process. Not long after, Lou became a grief educator studying under David Kessler. She still works as an illustrator, but has turned her focus more toward helping others in grief. Her mission is to normalize conversations about grief, educate society about the impacts of grief and trauma, and also to create safe spaces for grievers with no judgment and no timelines. I like that. Her Instagram account, @_grief_project, is a place where grievers meet, interact, and witness each other's grief. Sounds very, very cool. Go yeah. check it out if you haven't already. And with all of that said, ladies and gentlemen, here today to share more about her inspiring work, without much further ado, please welcome to the Power of Love Show, Lou Panisi. Now, Lou. Round of applause. What, that was a weird sound at the end.
Yeah. I press the same button I always press. So
what, Lou, first of all, wonderful seeing you. I appreciate you taking the time to join me and dealing with my brother over here. Very sweet of you. But you are coming in live from Australia, where it is what time in the morning?
It is 6:18. My favorite number. 6:18 is my favorite number. So there you go.
There you go. Well, Lou, I thank you for joining us bright and early in your morning. And you mentioned something that was interesting to me as well, that it's about to become winter time for you, which is interesting.
Totally different zones. It's cold and dark outside. So, yeah, no Arizona heat for me.
Yeah. Lou, did I say your last name correctly?
You did, which is amazing. Okay. No one ever gets it right. Panisi is correct.
Always gets it wrong, so that's amazing. In itself.
In that. Well, again, thank you for joining us, Lou. And I appreciate you dealing with my brother. With all of that said, can you tell us a bit about your background and what led you to become a grief educator and an illustrator?
Sure, I can. So I actually became an illustrator through not becoming an actor. I did a three-year diploma in performance studies and then was really struggling to get any work or any auditions. And I just started being creative, basically, because I was sitting at home every day waiting for that call. I created a business through that called Totally Innocent, which I am still currently doing, which is basically kind of all children's products based around building self-esteem and resilience and positivity in their lives. So that's kind of how my illustrating started. Then with the grief stuff, that was probably something that I was always really fascinated with. As a child, I was really fascinated with death and dying and cemeteries. But I had a 4-year-ish period where I just had loss after loss after loss. And I just really dove into why some people grieve in some ways and some people really struggle to move through it. And I was just randomly scrolling Facebook one day, or Instagram actually, and saw that David Kessler was holding his first grief educator course. I'd followed him for ages and really loved like his approach to grief. And yeah, so I signed up and did his course, and it just changed everything in my life pretty much.
That's really cool. Really, really cool. I want to ask a follow-up question, but I've seen so many comments, people saying they love your accent. So I wanted to make sure. Do you hear that a lot, or is that only from something you hear from foreigners when you're outside of?
Yeah, no, I get really paranoid about my accent because I think you guys sound amazing. But yeah, that's really nice.
No, yeah, many people are loving your accent. Okay. And then one more thing that I caught that you were talking about is you said as a kid you were fascinated with death.
Yeah.
When we say a kid, what age and were you the only one you knew that was like that? That's a very interesting thing to me.
Pretty much. I do remember we went on a family holiday with our neighbors, and they had four kids and there was three of us, and there was a cemetery down the road, and we hung out in that cemetery for days. It was just, and I just, wow. I would have been maybe seven, possibly.
No, so, and no real fear.
No fear. I mean, of course, the older brothers terrified us and tried to torture us and all of that. But I loved walking around cemeteries. I loved reading plaques and seeing how old people were. And they still fascinate me now. I used to beg my mum to stop if we drove past a cemetery.
Wow.
Day out for me to visit a cemetery. Yeah, I'm a little odd like that. So,
no,
yeah.
I think that's interesting. I think that's in a way cool. One thing, what happened, Tosh?
No, I said that's fascinating.
Oh, yeah, yeah. One thing that it's so interesting to me, because I would say 99% of people are scared of cemeteries and frightened by them. And whether it's from what we see in movies or even like our uncle's Thriller music video, it's like everything's so scary. But for you to not have that mentality, I wonder if that played a part in what you ended up becoming and doing. And I think that's really cool.
Yeah, possibly. It's really strange. It's just, I don't know. I'm a very light person, but I'm really drawn to kind of that dark, dark place. And I guess with the Grief Project, it's a big part of it, because so many people don't want to talk about it and don't want to go there, you know, whereas I love it. I could talk for hours about grief and loss and yeah.
So I want to talk about the Grief Project in a bit, but first I want to rewind a bit and just talk a bit about the losses you did experience. There was a significant period of cumulative losses for over a 5-year period.
Yeah.
How did these losses impact you, and how, not just how, but was there anything that helped you cope during these times?
Yeah, I'll just briefly tell you. Yeah, so I lost my mum in 2017, which was obviously a huge loss. You know, you guys know that. Mm-hmm. And from there, I just got pounded. It was like I'd had a very cruisy life until that point. And then I lost my mum within the next year. I lost my mother-in-law. We lost our 15-year-old dog. We then lost someone really tragically, whose name was Lucy. She was only 19, and she'd grown up alongside my children. Their family are our family. You know, they were just that family that we did everything with. So that was a really huge loss, and that one really impacted me in a sense that for the first time I really looked at how we support other people in grief. Because I saw my friends in the worst pain of their life, and I just went into that human thing of wanting to fix it for them. And as we know, there's no fixing it. Then we went into COVID, and Melbourne had a pretty heavy COVID. We were one of the most lockdown cities. And during that time, my 28-year relationship fell apart. And yeah, so it was a really heavy time. It was a lot. And for a while I was just in a really dark place. I just felt like every time I came up for a breath, something else hit me. But you know, it's a process, and a few years on, I'm in a much better place. And yeah, the Grief Project was a big part of that for me, which was so rare, because it started as just a quiet place for me to pour my heart out, and yeah, it became something so different.
It's funny because we can relate to that, you know, doing this podcast. This has become such a, you know, we just wanted to do something where we can help others and talk about our loss and maybe help someone. And but it's been very healing for us in a way that we did not expect it to be. So I can completely understand that. Now, asking about the Grief Project again, let me put this handle on the bottom so everyone can see it if you want to check it out. Again, it's at the_grief_project. So if I'm understanding correctly, Lou, you just started to illustrate and post those illustrations and were just basically very honest and vulnerable with what you're going through on any particular day.
Pretty much when it first started, I really started it because I felt like I wasn't coping, and I felt like everyone in my life who loved me or loves me was concerned about me and was also probably getting sick of hearing about how sad I was. I think we probably do that to ourselves a lot and shame ourselves in our own guilt. And so I just kind of took myself to Instagram, and I've always been someone that writes when I'm feeling sad or struggling with things. Writing really helps me process. So, it was probably a year after my mum died that I was kind of writing every day, and I don't even know how it sort of started. I just did a page and thought, okay, I'll just put all my feelings here. I'll just keep them over here. And it just resonated with people. And it became something so different because it was really about me and my own feelings. And then I realized that it was actually helping other people, which was amazing and gives me the best feeling, which I'm sure you guys know too from
That's
and it does help you heal. It's amazing hearing that other people know what you're feeling and say, oh my God, I felt so alone. I feel heard and I feel seen, you know?
And we have a comment from Amanda who says, wow, hearing this just makes me admire you so much more, which is hard because I adore you. You help me so many. Thank you. Really cool. And then Sarah, who is always on our stream, says, ooh, just realized I already follow your page, Lou. Thank you for your content and message. So there you go. You guys go give Lou a follow, go check her out. And I just love the fact that you could do something from your heart, something that you feel that could be healing for yourself, will actually heal other people. And then that healing just turns back and heals you even more than you even thought it could be. So it's just a beautiful cycle. And it's a really cool thing that for anyone who's experienced a significant loss or anything challenging, don't be afraid to make a page about it. It could be cathartic. It could be therapeutic for you to get it out, and you never know who it's going to help. And then on top of that, that helping that other person can actually make you heal from it even more so. So really, really, really cool. As an illustrator, I'm curious to know, we are musicians, so for us, it's a bit, I think I know a lot of this answer, but I believe it's different for everyone else. But I'm going to ask you, in your opinion, how does art or being creative in any way, how does that aid in the grieving process based on your experience as an illustrator, but also as a grief educator? What is the role that art and being creative can play in healing?
I think anything that gives you some space to process and feel is a positive in your healing, right? So I don't even think it has to be creative. I mean, for me, it's creative. For you guys, it's creative, whether it's music, writing, art, obviously, illustrating. But for some people, it's just gardening, you know, like taking time. And I think as I've gone through the healing journey, I find that anything that brings you joy as well, like little moments of joy, can really help lift you out of that dark place, because it. And with art, I think it just takes your brain to another place where, you can process and get some stuff out.
I want to take a quick look at, I should have put this up when we were talking about it, but here's a overlay for the Grief Project, normalizing grief loss. And again, the Instagram is @the_grief_project. So if you're watching on Facebook or YouTube, there you go. There's the handle for Lou's social media account. Okay, now your bio mentions that you studied under David Kessler. I think I'm saying his name correct, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I have a David. Thing about getting, I have a thing about getting people's names right. So if I miss,
very good. Say,
okay, if I miss say a word, please let me know, Lou. But anyways, you mentioned that you studied under David to become a grief educator. Can you share more about that experience and how it shaped your approach to grief education?
Sure. Excuse me. It sounds really dramatic, but I feel like David Kessler changed my life in many ways. He has a really beautiful, I don't know if you have met him or know of his work, but he's incredibly gentle. He's humble. He's really giving and generous. And his course was incredible. It taught me so much about different aspects of grief, things that I didn't know. It made me sort of learn more about my own grief and where I was at. He's really incredible. He validated a lot of things that I already sort of sensed and was doing, but it is amazing when you sort of learn these things that you realize that you're not crazy and that it's quite normal to, but our society doesn't allow it. So we're always kind of being pushed and pulled between what we feel and what we feel we should be.
Yeah.
And I just loved that his approach is no judgment, no shame. Mm-hmm. And he's really incredible. I did a course with him earlier this year as well, with him and Andrea Kagan, and it was a writing course, and it was called Writing Through Grief and Trauma, which was also really fascinating, because for me, writing has really helped me heal and process, and I think it's like such an amazing tool for people. But people get scared of it because they think they have to write a book, you know, but it's just literally pouring out whatever is in your brain. And often I don't even know what's going to come out, you know. It's just I don't know what I'm feeling until I start writing it, and then I go, that's where I'm at.
Yeah.
There's something so powerful about that. The simplicity of just getting your thoughts out and what you're feeling out is so healing.
Yeah.
And to me, it says a lot about how wrong I think our society has gotten it by teaching us to keep it inside and teaching us to not express or not, you know, it's kind of sad to me because there's a lot of people and cultures who believe you can't say anything or you got to always suck it up and, you know, you're not allowed to feel this way or that way. And I think we all need to be more gentle with ourselves and gives ourselves that opportunity to be able to say, I don't feel so great today. Or to feel I'm depressed or I'm down. And I'm not one of those who would want anyone to live in that space and to feel that they are sentenced to that. But I think it's okay to be able to say it and to be able to feel that way and express it publicly or externally. So I appreciate you sharing that answer. What advice would you give to someone who could be currently struggling with grief and feeling isolated and alone? What would you tell them?
Okay, are you ready? I would tell them, first up, feel it, lean into it, don't run away from it. I think, like you just said, the way our society is driven, We're kind of allowed a couple of weeks to grieve and sometimes a couple of months, and then it's very much like, okay, you've got to get on with things. I would say to people, and I do say on my page a lot, just go gently, be kind to yourself. Some people won't be there for you. People that you think are going to be your number one rock are just not capable of being that person. And that is actually okay. You can still have a relationship with those people, but it also creates space to for the people that can be there for you and can. I mean, it amazes me the people that stepped up for me that I didn't expect, and the people that wouldn't be there for me that I really thought would be the most solid, you know. And I would also say it doesn't get easier, but you do get stronger. And you, as you learn more about grief and your own grief, you learn how to manage it better. So although it doesn't get easier, I mean, we just had Mother's Day in Australia on Sunday and, you know, I woke up and had a little cry wishing my mum was still here. But I also now know how to just let it out and then go on with my day. And I had a beautiful day. And but 7 years ago, I did not want to climb out of bed that day, you know. So, yeah, you do get stronger. And I guess as well, the last thing is just if you are really struggling, there are so many resources out there now for grieving people. And so, yeah, reach out and see what works for you. So for some people, it's a group situation they find really helpful. For some, it's an Instagram page like The Grief Project where you can just read people's comments and, yeah, create friendships through that. So, yeah.
Beautiful. Great. Now, do you have something, Tosh?
No, I just love, I loved everything you were saying in that way. And cool. Because you summarized everything.
Lou, your mission includes normalizing conversations about grief, educating society about the impacts of grief and trauma, and creating safe spaces for grievers. Can you elaborate a bit on these goals and why these in particular are so important to you?
I think that the way society handles grief, we have a long way to go. I think in so many ways we just need to get back to basics, like you said. I mean, we used to care for our dying people in our homes. You know, we used to be around death and it was normal. And I feel like we've made it so sterile that people are so afraid of it. They're scared to talk about it. They don't know what to say to grieving people. And so they do nothing. You know, they get so scared of it that they just stay away from it, which is really hurtful and harmful to people who are struggling. My ex-husband is actually a Maori, and the way they do death is so beautiful. You know, the body is with the family for like 4 or 5 days before they bury them and no one leaves that. It's just such a beautiful, sacred thing. And my children have grown up with that, you know, going to tongues and they I feel like they have a really good handle on death. They know how to be with people who are struggling. They don't sort of shy away from it. So, yeah, it's really important to me because I think so many people are alone and struggling on their own and feel that they can't share it. And they're told terrible things like it's time to move on and are you still going on with that, you know? So, yeah, hope that answers the question.
It does. It does. And here's another question from a viewer. Venetia says, Miss Lou, how can I help an auntie who has lost her 2 daughters and husband and now is raising her 2 grandchildren? I admire her ability to stay strong in faith in God. I see her pain. So just wanting to ask you, Lou, if that's okay, what advice or what would you tell Venetia?
I would say just check in on her regularly. I think often when people have lost, I mean, that's a lot, 2 daughters and a husband. I think it's important when people are in a really tough place that you can just be with them. You don't have to have the answers. You don't have to fix them. You can't fix it. It's not fixable. But just being there by their side and listening and saying the people's names as well. I think a lot of people are scared to talk about it and to bring it up, but for most people, I mean, everyone is different. Grief is different for everyone, but you can even say to her, do you want to talk about them? Like, because I have a memory that I want to share with you, or a photo, or I think for a lot of people it's really hard, the thought that their person's going to be forgotten. So I think that's a really key thing to, yeah, not be scared to go there and talk about that. And say, if you don't know what to say, say that. I don't know what to say. Yeah. Like, be vulnerable with your people, because when you're vulnerable, it opens up the space for other people to be as well.
Great points. Yeah, definitely. I think with everything in that aspect of it, it is, for me especially, before all these episodes and stuff, it was hard for me to know what to say, as you said. But just being with someone, that comfort of not being alone in that way, is so powerful in that. And you said something else way earlier about sometimes the people that you expect to step up when you have are the ones that, and I've forgiven since then, because I understand it. As a culture, we don't have the lessons to know how to talk about certain things. And I had certain people that I never would have thought I would have been so close to. Sure. They stepped up in that way. So I understand all of that. And I know that the listeners in that way are appreciative of that, because that's why I said you summed it up so well earlier.
Yeah, I know. It's a really hard lesson. And I mean, they're called secondary losses, right? Like, we can lose a person, but then it's all the other losses that we have as well that have such a huge impact on us. And that was a big one for me. I was so angry at so many people that I felt had let me down. But then over time I realized that we're all capable of different things, and some people just can't go there. They just don't know how to do it. And, yeah, it's hard. But
well said. That's an important part or piece that we don't usually talk about. But it's a real thing, is when you expect certain people to play a certain role and they let you down or don't, you know, it can be a really tough thing to digest and deal with.
Yeah.
So I appreciate you saying
that. I hear that a lot on my page. Yeah. Like, people message me saying that they just feel so let down and they feel like they've been deserted, and yeah.
It's already isolating when you're going through trauma, but to have that additional kind of separation or feeling of being isolated, it can be tough. But I loved your response, Lou, about how some people just don't know how to be supportive or what to say. And so you got to have that mentality that they may not know what to do themselves. So, question, how do you envision the future of the Grief Project? And your work as a grief educator, what's in store for the future for Lou?
I have a million things I want to do. Every week I come up with something new that I'm planning. And I want to, long term, I would really love to. My big term goal is to run retreats with grieving people, but with a holistic approach. So, you know, with meditation and journaling and art therapy and and to create a little bubble where people then hopefully at the end of the retreat have a little connection with people and have a support system that they can take away with them. Yeah, but I want to start a podcast and create a website with gifts for grieving people. There's lots of things sort of happening in the background. It's very slow though, but it's happening. It'll happen.
Yeah, take your time. It'll happen when it's supposed to, but it's all wonderful stuff. So wish you the best. And I want to make sure you go for it, you know, because we need more people like you. We need your voice even more so than what you're already doing. And then for our listeners who may want to support or get involved with your work, what are some ways they can do that?
Well, the main way is they can follow our Instagram page. I do kind of try and do posts that are kind of open discussions with questions for people, because I find that people do want to, they want it, their voice heard. I mean, people want their grief to be witnessed. So it's a really beautiful community, considering there's like over 100,000 people on there now. It's really rare that I ever have to pull people up on what they say. I think there is something so beautiful about all these people that are dealing with their own grief, but everyone is so kind to each other on that page, and it's, I'm really proud of it. It's a really beautiful space that people really support each other, and it's really nice to see as well. I've sort of watched friendships grow, you know, where someone's commented on something saying they'd lost a child, for example, and then someone else says, I lost my child at the same time as you, and you just see these connections happening, which is so beautiful. It, yeah, fills my heart.
That's beautiful. You built a community, and that can help people when we're not even aware or sleeping. Yeah. It's a really cool feeling. I thought you were going to say something, Taj. My bad. Now, what advice? Let me say it this way: what are some common misconceptions about grief that you often encounter? And then also, how do you address that in what you do?
Some common misconceptions, and I had it myself, is that I always thought that grief was a period of time that you mm-hmm. went through, that you felt really sad, and then you came out the other end and everything was fine again. I think that's a huge one. And that is not the case. If you don't know anything about grief, it does stay with you forever. I mean, grief is kind of your love, and it's got nowhere to go anymore. So it is a forever thing for many people, that is. Obviously, there's the five stages of grief, which is always a very tricky conversation. People get really upset about it. It is a misconception because Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, who created the five stages, she actually created them for people that were dying, in the dying process. So people believe that, you know, you need to go through each of those steps. And many people do, but they're all over the shop. And you don't just go through anger once. You might go through it 300 times. Yeah. And so although it does work for grief, it was never her intention for the stages to be about grief. And she was actually, like, she was an amazing woman for her time, because she was one of the first people to say everyone grieves differently, and it is, you know, there's no timeline and all of those things. It's not linear. But she's kind of been demonized a little bit because they took her words and twisted them.
Cool. Very cool. I want to show a couple of your illustrations too. I love them all, but the middle one, I Am Not Alone, even if it feels that way. It's so simple but so powerful. Very, very, very powerful. And then even on the darkest days, know that things will get better. So very cool, powerful images. Again, these are from Lou's Instagram account, the_grief_project. So make sure to check it out, give it a follow, and engage in the community, on the comments, and be part of Lou's community. Anything else I am missing, Lou, before we get to the final word?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
In that way, as someone that admires art, in that, love how you illustrate.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Very little well done.
I love a rainbow, so yeah, there's a lot of color. I think that was something actually that people said really early on, was that my grief page, they were like, I love that you talk about really sad things, but there's rainbows everywhere, and it's really, it's light. It's not all dark and gray and, doom and gloom, which is life, right? And grief, you know, I think that's another misconception, is that if you are grieving that you have a miserable life, you know.
Right.
You can be grieving forever, but also live an amazing life. It's just giving it its time and space where it needs to be.
Yeah. Well said. That's an important, it's true, because I know a lot of people will feel guilty if they laugh at a joke while they're crying or grieving or, you know, and so it's a very, very important thing to say. Okay, Lou. Well, I think it's that time where we're going to have the final word. And like we always do each and every episode, we give the final word to our guest. And it could be on topic, off topic. It could be about your favorite cooking recipe, your favorite Netflix show. It doesn't matter, Lou. It's completely in your control of what we or what you want to share with our community. So whenever you are ready, the floor is yours.
Okay. Well, I love that you have this at the end, but it did put me under pressure. I was like, okay, it can be anything. What am I going to do? But I just came across a meme last night that just really resonated with me, and it's young Pueblo, I have a terrible accent. He's a poet and I love his work. And I just saw this, and it's 9 things that hold great power. And they are rest, kindness, meditation, vulnerability, healing yourself, being honest with others, embracing lifelong growth, fostering deep connections, and giving without wanting in return.
Wow.
And I thought they're really beautiful.
Yeah, I love that. Out
of 10, but yeah.
I love that. Yeah, I have a couple of his books. I haven't read them yet, but I know he's a young, strong mind.
Yeah, his work's really beautiful. Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you for sharing that, Lou. Appreciate it. Very helpful and just empowering. So thank you for that. Todd Jackson, is there anything we need to share before we close out the show?
No. As always, you know, I for me in general, you hit all the points in that way. So it's always a great reminder for me in that way, because grief is something that you definitely, it always is around, especially. I like the idea of it not becoming, doesn't define you in that way. You do live with it constantly once. I think the one thing I was going to say a little earlier on is that grief, back in the school days for us in general, I think grief, I want to say in my head, the definition had a certain period of time. Like they made it sound like it was like, oh, you go through this period of grief. And it's like, so that's why I think the misconception of it, of you not living with it your whole life, which is the reality of it. And then I just think it came from some bad education back in the day. And I'm happy you're here to re-educate people and spread that word. So thank you.
Thank you.
Well said, Taj. Well said. All right. I think we are going to close out the show, but Lou, thank you for joining us. You are the first guest we've had from Australia. So thank you very much. Yes. Oh yeah, for sure.
First for awesome. Sure.
Yeah, for sure. Well, look me up if you ever get to Australia. I'd love to meet you guys. Say I'm so sorry for your loss. I did read up about your mom, and she was so beautiful, and it's just
thank you, Lou.
Such thank a you. Sad story, but I love what you guys are doing with your grief and turning it into such a beautiful positive thing as well. So thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Lou, and I'm going through some of the comments on there so you can see how much love you are getting. And
that's so nice.
Again, thank you for being part of our show.
Yes.
No problem. I'll get up at 4:30 a.m. for you guys anytime.
And real quick, just join her Instagram, because every community builds another community, and
that's right.
Each community stronger. So
there you go. All right. That is it, everyone. We will see you all next Wednesday at 1 p.m. Until next time, please be safe and have a good rest of your week. Okay. Adios, everyone. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.